Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Carla Bertolotti. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent, excellent. You're from Wines of Uruguay. They sound like a marketing board, but they're actually an importer, aren't they?
So basically this is a business that I started 7 years ago. And what I do is to import and distribute wines from Uruguay in the UK. And hence the name of the business, Wines of Uruguay UK.
Wines of Uruguay UK, cool. So if the listeners haven't worked it out, we're going to be talking about Uruguayan wines today.
Of course we are, yes.
hopefully. So before we get into that, just tell us a wee bit about your business, Wines of Uruguay. You said you've been running now for 7 years?
That's right, yeah. So I started from scratch, very, very small, actually without having much background in the wine industry at all. And I learned everything along the way. I have great support from the wineries helping me with knowledge and various things to get the roads into the UK market. And now we are doing quite well, supplying basically the on and off trade in all over the country.
Okay, so it's on and off trade. Independent producers, I presume, is it?
The producers that I work with.
Independent retailers.
Yes, independent retailers. I personally don't deal with any supermarkets, but I understand that there are other wineries in the UK that do.
Okay, from Uruguay, yeah?
That's right, yeah. There are several companies importing Uruguayan wines, not just me. Some bigger, some smaller. But currently, there are about 10 wineries from Uruguay present in the UK.
Are you from Uruguay yourself?
I am, yes.
Okay, because your accent's very soft. What language do they speak in Uruguay?
Spanish.
It is Spanish, yeah. I'm never quite sure if it's Spanish or Portuguese, because you got Brazil speaking Portuguese.
Brazil is the only Portuguese-speaking country in the continent. Everyone else speaks Spanish.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, fair enough.
Apart from Guyana, that they speak Dutch, but... Yeah.
Okay. So let's start off with on the assumption that we know nothing about Uruguay, because I think for me that's a pretty good valid assumption.
Not many people do. So.
Yeah. Where is Uruguay to start off with?
So Uruguay is in South America.
Yep.
It's in the Pile of 34, so it's quite south in the continent. I know that many people place it further up in the continent, but actually, if you think in the whole world, Uruguay is the same level as Stellenbosch in South Africa, for instance, or New Zealand. So it's that kind of level.
What latitude, sorry? 34?
Parallel 34.
34 degrees latitude.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And where is it?
It's the second smallest country in South America with only 3 million inhabitants, well, 3 million and a half, actually. And it's in between Argentina and Brazil.
Oh,
so
is it?
Right in the south of the continent. Yes. And it has, so the south of Uruguay would be the Atlantic coast.
Yeah.
And then we have the only border line was with Brazil to the north and to the east of the country. And then the west, there is a river called the River Uruguay that comes all the way from the Amazons and then turns into the River Uruguay, which in turn merges into the River Plate. And that is a border with Argentina. That river is a border between Uruguay and Argentina.
Okay, I tell you what, given your description, I've just had to look at it on the map because I had Uruguay in a completely different part of the world.
You're not the only one. Yes.
Okay, so you're sort of on the east coast, between Argentina. You almost take a chunk out of Argentinian's coastline, aren't you?
Yes. Well, yeah. Originally, Uruguay was part of what is now Argentina.
And, oh, really?
Originally, yes. But that was, I'm talking about 300 years ago, yeah.
And Argentina is all about altitude, on the Alps, but you're by the coast, so...
Uruguay is fairly flat. The highest point in Uruguay is just over 500 meters, yep. So there's not much skiing in Uruguay.
Absolutely make sure I understand this. South America, big bit at the top, which is mainly Brazil, comes down the long teardrop, long skinny bit. You're on the right-hand side.
That's right.
The east coast. Just taking a chunk out of Argentina and it's flat land. Did not think I'm learning something every day. I thought I knew something, but not nothing,
I mean,
really.
As I said, Uruguay's fairly flat. It has this beautiful Atlantic coast. looks very much like Southwest France. I know that the name of the country sounds very exotic and tropical, Uruguay, but actually it's not like that at all. It looks very much like Southwest France. And it has a climate that is quite similar to Southwest France too.
Okay, so warm, quite warm. Not
maritime, temperate. It can be quite warm in the summer.
Yeah.
But because of the Atlantic influence, the maritime breeze, all the nights tend to be quite cool.
Yeah.
Which is obviously very good and beneficial for growing good quality grapes.
Yeah, holding on to your acidity. And do you get, obviously maritime, so you're getting a lot of rain, is it? Is it quite wet?
There is enough rainfall normally spread evenly throughout the year. That's why, for instance, we don't need artificial irrigation because there is plenty of water. But I wouldn't say that it's particularly rainy. It's just there is enough water. But I think it's about 950 millimeters, milliliters.
Yeah. Milliliters. About the same as Bordeaux then.
Yeah.
So Bordeaux gets 950, Burgundy 600. Mediterranean climates are normally in there, sort of 500-600. So yeah, you are definitely maritime. Okay, excellent. All right. Well, that's a shocker. How long have Uruguay been making wine?
The wine production in Uruguay started when first Jesuit missionaries arrived in early 1800s. And basically they established the first settlement in what is now Montevideo, the capital. And the second thing that they did was to plant vines nearby, which was what is now north of Montevideo. And these wines and the production of wine was purely for religious purposes.
Yep.
So, you know, obviously, if you're conquering a country, you need some wine to do that. So that was the start. But that was a very unstable period in Uruguay, with obviously there wasn't a government. There were a lot of wars. There were the Portuguese and the Spanish fighting for this piece of land. So wine production really didn't establish until independence, which was in 1825.
Okay, but still quite a long time of making wine.
Indeed, yes. So from that point onwards, yes, there has been more and more established production, and commercial viticulture started in 1870.
Okay. All right, so over 100 years of practice.
That's right, yeah. Yes.
And where are the vineyards? Is there any known regions or designated regions?
So for historic reasons, as I was explaining before, the first vines were planted in what is now north of Montevideo, and from that extended a bit further north to a big area called Canelones. That is today still the main growing region in Uruguay, where 70% of the wine is coming from.
What's it called? Canelones?
Canelones.
Canelones, okay.
That's right.
Sounds Italian. Did you get a lot of Italian immigrants coming in?
90% of the population in Uruguay is European descendant, and from that 90%, probably 60% is of Italian origin, like my own family, for instance. Yeah. And if you look at the names of the winemakers, you have De Luca and lots of very Italian-sounding names, mainly from the Piedmont, but from other regions from Italy as well, and obviously a lot of Spanish families and some from the southwest of France. And all those families are the ones that brought the vines with them and started viticulture in Uruguay.
Okay.
We don't have any native varieties in Uruguay. They're all of European origin.
No, that's quite common though, isn't it? So let's just have a look at the... you said the region was
Canelones.
Canelones?
That's right.
Okay, so tell us about Canelones. Is that the main region there?
That is the main region, yes. It's not the only one. The majority of the wine is grown there. There are other two regions, one in Colonia and one in Maldonado, specifically in Garzón, which are the two sort of newer regions in the south. But then wine is grown in the north of the country as well, in very small proportions. But yes, Canelones it's still the main region.
And where is it? Where's Canelones?
So it's about 30, 40 miles from the Atlantic coast, roughly. So north of Montevideo.
Yep.
And all the area around Montevideo. So north and going to the east and a little bit to the west as well. It's about 50 miles radius of north of Montevideo.
Okay. If you think of Uruguay as an egg-shaped, because that seems to be on its side.
Yeah.
We're on that egg is it? Is north?
So we are in the south of the country.
In the south
yes,
of the country.
Yes, so Montevideo, the capital, is right in the south, right on the coast.
Yep.
And it's a tiny area. The region right next to it is Canelones.
Okay, so it's slightly yes. inland. In, okay, going yes. around
And
it.
Roughly speaking, the majority of these wineries are 30, 40 miles from the Atlantic coast.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
where the majority of the wineries are, within that region.
And that's because what? Why? Do you know why that would be?
Well, that's what I was explaining before, historic reasons. That was the closest area from the original settlement in Montevideo, the capital. That was the closest area to plant vines. And as it happened, it had the perfect conditions. It had perfect soil and perfect climate.
What's soil and climate?
So it's a mixture of soil, mixture of clay, sandy clay, chalk, roughly. That's what it is. And, well, climate we were talking about before, maritime climate with nice heat during the day, cool nights that allow grapes to ripe slowly, rich, good complexity and good acidity as well.
Okay. And with all these Europeans coming over, you said the Spanish, bit of Portuguese, lots of Italians, that sort of stuff. The grape varieties look very French.
Yes. Well, because of the type of climate, obviously the varieties that grow best in that region are the ones that will suit southwest of France. So we have Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot work really well, Tanat, which is a signature grape,
yep.
Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay, all those varieties work really well. The first varieties introduced in Uruguay were not those, actually, were a lot of Italian varieties that do not suit so well the climate in Uruguay. So they were quickly dismissed because they didn't really suit the climate. And over the years, those varieties that I was referring to before were the ones that proved more successful.
Okay, so the main grape variety, you said your USP, if you like, your unique selling point, because a lot of New World, and I'd call Uruguay a New World country because it's not European.
That's right.
They tend to have a single dominated grape variety, Sauvignon Blanc in New Zealand, Shiraz. Americans have got, Zinfandel, if you like, Chile, Carmenere, Argentina,
Malbec. Yep.
Tannat, is that Uruguay's big thing?
Absolutely. Tannat is a signature grape from Uruguay. It was brought to Uruguay in 1870 by a chap called Pascual Arriague from the País Basque, because the variety is originally from this very small appellation in France called Madiran,
yeah.
And it was brought to by this chap, and it worked really well. It was very much liked by the locals for some strange reason, because the variety is very high in tannins, but they liked it. At the time, 200 years ago, it was blended with Moscatel to make it a bit more approachable, because, as you know, Tannat is a variety very high in tannins, and I can't imagine 200 years ago how it could possibly taste it like. But yeah, it proved really successful. And nowadays, about 30% of the production is exclusively Tannat. Uruguay, I have to say, it's mainly a red wine producer.
Okay.
So only 7% of the total production is white. Then about 30% rosé, and the rest is red wine. And from that red wine production, the majority will be Tannat.
Tannat blends,
that's right.
Well, for the listeners who haven't really come across Tannat as a grape variety, before, because I don't think we've really covered it in any depth. You did say that Tannat is known for its tannics.
That's right. It's a variety with the highest content in tannins of all, hence the name.
Is it very thick skin or small berries or what is it?
Originally, yes. So the Tannat from Madiran, it is quite a fairly small berry with very thick skin.
Okay.
Now, what happens is in Uruguay, we have more rain than in Madiran, which means that the grape has a thinner skin. And because it has a thinner skin, the content of tannins of the Tannats from Uruguay is less, although they're still quite high compared to other varieties, but it's still less than those Tannats from Madiran. So that's why you can drink a Tannat from Uruguay when it's young, whilst you might find difficult to drink a Tannat from Madiran when it's young, because it will be a really, really harsh wine to drink.
Yeah. Tannic. That's the way I remember it. It's just Tannat. I remember years ago doing an interview with Professor Roger Corder, who is a he was looking at the medical benefits of
that's right. And he wrote the wine diets.
You know the book, yeah, yeah.
I do, yes.
Yeah, and he was saying tannate was the grape variety with the highest polyphenols, and therefore one of the, if you're going to drink a red wine, that's the one to have.
Yeah, well, the book basically says that tannate is the healthiest variety available. One type of polyphenol called procyanidin is the polyphenol that is specifically in tannate. And this polyphenol, procyanidin, basically what it does is protects heart cells. So it helps you to avoid heart diseases. That's the kind of the short story. And therefore, he considers that tannate is the healthiest variety available. In moderation, of course, because otherwise if you drink too much, it might damage your liver.
But, exactly.
Yes.
Okay, so so the grape variety is generally quite small. It swells up a little bit because of the extra moisture in Uruguay, producing still quite tannic, robust wines, but maybe a little bit softer.
Yes.
Acidity levels, high, medium, low?
Uruguay, in general, produced across all the varieties, you will find a high level of acidity. Well-balanced, but good acidity. So the wines are normally very fresh, and that's due to climate again. Because what I was explaining before about the cool nights and etc., then the varieties are not as flabby as you can find in other areas, other neighboring areas that tend to be hotter, and perhaps sometimes the grapes have less acidity. In Uruguay, in general, levels of acidity are naturally very good.
Okay, and in terms of viticulture, is it all bush vines, or do you have them on trellising?
Trellising will be the most common form of
vineyard layout.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Okay. No, that's not a problem. Not a problem. And I was tasting some of the tannates, etc. And they were quite nice. I tasted a pure tannate by itself, an unoaked for early consumption tannate, and it was like it didn't taste particularly tannic. It tasted like a structured, easy drinking wine. Mm-hmm. I tasted a single varietal tannate with lots of oak in it. That was a few years old. Does it age tannate as a grape variety? It seems to be able to go quite well with your classic Bordeaux grape varieties.
Well, any varieties that are very, very high in tannins will age slowly. So tannate has a great aging potential for that reason, because it's so high in tannins that will age really slowly. Of course, it depends on the winemaking style. Some tannates are made and designed, if you like, to be drunk young. But in general, it's a variety that will last, and particularly if it's been aged in oak, that will add that extra layer of not only complexity, but also the aging potential.
And in terms of blending, you said it's a main grape variety, but tannate is blended with other grape varieties. What are the classic blends that you would see in Uruguay?
So probably Tannat Merlot will be the most popular one. Merlot being a variety low in tannins, which perhaps more fruit and softer and gentle, then tones down the Tannat. So that will be kind of a very popular blend. The other one will be with Cabernet Sauvignon, which obviously Cabernet Sauvignon being a variety of higher content in tannins, the end result is a more robust wine. But with still the gentleness and the elegance that the Cabernet Sauvignon can have.
And what's the classic aromas you get from tannat?
So lots of dark berries, blackberries, sometimes chocolate character as well, cacao, tobacco, a bit of smoke, coffee as well.
Yeah.
That kind of
when it ages, does it develop anything really savory or interesting that's a bit unique?
Well, it goes along those lines, really. It's just a very young tannat will be more in the dark fruits type of taste and aroma. As it develops, it will add those flavors that I was referring to before, the cacao, chocolate notes, the smoke, the tobacco leaves, that kind of flavor. Yeah.
Okay. And if someone decides they want to get hold of some of your Uruguayan wines, how do they get hold of you? What's your website? Or
Our website is very easy, winesofuruguay.co.uk, and we deliver anywhere in the UK, so it's very easy to get
happy
hold
to sell
of
to the consumer.
Oh yes, absolutely. Well, that website is designed to give information, but also to sell direct to the consumer. So we can afford to give very reasonable prices because we import direct and we sell direct. Otherwise, yeah. we supply various independent wine merchants throughout the country.
Okay, and your favorite wine from Uruguay is?
That is a very hard question. Yeah. It's not very fair, but yeah. I will tell you what's the best seller, and you will be surprised. It's a Tanat dessert wine. It's called Alcione. It's the most amazing wine you can possibly come across. Super complex. And even for the people that tend to don't like dessert wines, they love this dessert wine made of Tanat.
Oh, okay.
Oh. So if you have the chance, you should try it.
Have you got it here?
No. I'm really sorry, I don't.
Oh, well, never mind. All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Carla.
Been a pleasure.
Cheers very much.